It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. James, I'm Kyle. Hanging out with you till noon, then we'll head off to D-Lo and KC. They'll take you into the weekend up to 4 o'clock.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
The Emergency Kings Roundtable, by the way, coming up at 11:30. D-Lo, KC, and Jesse are all going to hop in here, and we're just going to continue our wide-ranging conversation. So kind of where we left off in the first segment. The Kings lost last night 113-100. We mentioned this being a season-defining stretch of games yesterday because they were 7-8 through the first 15. And we went, man, that wasn't a very tough first 15 games, but look at their next 15. Here's where they can get on track. They're 13 games into that 15-game stretch, and they're 6-7.
Oof. Even the five-game stretch we looked at, and we said, hey, they need to go 4-1. They need to 5-0, 4-1.
Yep.
And they've already lost first two.
Come on. For what it's worth, the five-game stretch for me started today, or yesterday.
Okay, yesterday.
Lakers three times, Pistons, Pacers.
Okay.
Get 2 out of 3 from the Lakers, beat the Pistons and Pacers, you're 4-1, and you can still get 2 out of 3 from the Lakers. But here's the problem, and here's why this feels so dramatic. It's because I have no reason to believe anymore that there's some turnaround coming. They're 13-15 through 28 games. They're more than a third of the way through the season. We established that yesterday. And they're just this.
Yeah.
It's becoming more and more clear that their struggles are not a matter of, oh, well, hey, uncharacteristically bad shooting, and there will be an ascension to the mean, and everything's going to be fine. I don't think it is. And that's why, to me now, and I've been very reluctant, if you listen to the show regularly, you know, I try very hard to be like, okay, not time to push the red button yet, not time to do anything crazy. Now's the time. You got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, we got here by way of Monty McNair, Wes Wilcox, the front office. They haven't done what they have to do to put together a roster where I can comfortably say it's something else. Like, to me, this is a front office problem. That's the way I see it. I don't know how anyone else feels, but to me, when I look at this team, that's what I look at first.
Okay, so I'm going to agree this front office problem, but I'm also not going to excuse the players or the coaches.
No, there are more.
Yeah, like, issues,
but I'm trying to find like the crux of it, because I think for Mike Brown specifically said last night, like, they players know what they got to do. They just got to go do it. Mm-hmm. Like, well, no, you if they're not doing it, like, coach it differently. Do something different.
Or find someone else to play. And Mike even said that last night as well. Mm-hmm. He said, like, look, I'm at a point where, like, I've either got to do this or I've got to find someone else to play.
Yep.
The problem is there is, like, the cupboards are bare. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, last night I thought...
Which goes back to
the
front office.
It does. It goes back to the front office. And, again, like, we were going to do six quick thoughts. We don't have to do six quick thoughts.
Yeah, we'll punt those.
I will tell you, my six quick thought last night was very specific. I thought Keon Ellis brought energy and some fire. And he only had 5 points, but he had 5 points, like, four rebounds, a couple of steals. Like, I thought Isaac Jones brought energy. Mm-hmm. And I get that it's not always easy to like, roll the dice and put Isaac Jones out there against Anthony Davis. You did it in the fourth quarter, and to be honest with you, I thought Isaac Jones played phenomenal. He had a couple of stops. He had a bucket. Like, you're like, hey, look, that's he's doing the things that you're asking, and it's tough for a coach to keep saying, like Mike talked about this early, that Isaac Jones keeps saying, making him say maybe, like, okay, well, maybe, but then you're to a point where it's like, hey, you've got nothing else. It has to be yes for right now, and hope that you can ride out like the ebbs and flows of a rookie. Undrafted rookie. But that's, we should not be discussing that with a team that had 50 plus win like aspirations. Mm-hmm. That should not be where we're at in this season, this early, where you're wondering how you're going to clear a roster spot. Because Isaac Jones is going to run out of games in like 22 games because you've already played him that much.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. And so, again, this is not any sort of knock on Isaac Jones. Isaac Jones just needs time. You put him in the G League, he was 31 points and 15 rebounds the other night.
Yeah, he's too good for the G League.
He's
but his timeline, but his timeline doesn't match what the Kings need right now. The Kings, there's urgency. It's now.
Well, that it's now, and it's I need a player that knows the game and can step in and like make a visible difference. And Isaac Jones might be that guy, but some nights he's not going to be that guy, and it's because he's young and he doesn't have the experience.
Sure.
So that's one avenue where I think that like you got to start going to. I was surprised we did not see a lot of Jay Crowder last night, but in all honesty, I thought the Kings did a great job on LeBron James, so it didn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know where else you're supposed to turn if you're Mike Brown.
Can I say another thing? And this might be blasphemous, but it's where I'm at. Again, no bad ideas today. If you want to join the show, the Elk Grove Kia talk line is 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320 to join the show on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Here's the thing I keep coming back to as well, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I don't think the DeMar DeRozan aspect of this is working. There's a clear disconnect to me, in at least how it looks to me. There's a clear disconnect between what the Kings do successfully on offense and what DeMar DeRozan does successfully on offense. I saw all the write-ups. I read all the stuff. I watched all the film clips. I saw it from people smarter than me breaking down how the DeMar DeRozan fit would work. And I bought in. But it's not working the way people thought it would work. It's not dribble handoffs and DeMar DeRozan getting downhill and being this playmaker, and now he's messing up how defenses have to defend the Kings because they now have to defend the mid-range and it's going to leave all these guys open. It's not going like that. And to me, it looks like, hey, here's this player who's going to work for 16 to 22 shots a game that sometimes come within the flow of the offense, more often than not don't. He passes it sometimes, and he's a good passer when he does, but I wouldn't call him like this willing, exceptional playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned it earlier. It was Malik Monk, Domantas Sabonis pick and rolls, 3 out of 4 plays for buckets.
Get out the way.
Is Domantas Sabonis getting downhill, Malik Monk feeding him, bucket, assist for Malik Monk, bucket for Domantas Sabonis. And the two plays within that, it was 3 out of 5. And the two plays within that that weren't Sabonis Monk pick and rolls were a 19-footer and a 17-foot turnaround jumper from DeMar DeRozan. And this is not to say DeMar is a bad player. He's not. But when you look at what the Kings need, I don't look at their team and go, man, they need a guy who's just an individual who can just go get a bucket for them. We talked about it yesterday, man. I think that ball stopping and the lack of motion in the offense and getting out of what worked specifically really well in 22-23,
mm-hmm.
I think that's part of the reason you're seeing some guys struggle that weren't struggling in prior years.
Well, that, and I'll add that if you're going to do a bunch of pick and rolls,
mm-hmm.
the players that you need on the court, like with this team very specifically, it's mm-hmm. Kevin Huerter, it's Doug McDermott, it's Trey Lyles and his ability to shoot the three, mm-hmm. it's Keon Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
You have got to surround those guys with three-point shooters to open the spacing on the floor.
That's it.
That's how the pick and roll works. And unfortunately, a guy who lives in the mid-range is in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, he's in the way.
Yeah.
And so, like, look, I think it was last week or the week before, Mike Brown very specifically said, like, look, we go into games and we have a game plan, and we make some play calls early to get specific guy shots early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but the play sets that we have in place, it is on the players on the court to run the play sets that they feel are going to work. The players can override any call from the bench.
Right.
Like when we look at the final play of the game against the Denver Nuggets where they didn't come up with a bucket,
mm-hmm.
that was a specific, they had one timeout left. Mike Brown calls a timeout right at the last second. He was able to save that timeout. And he sits everybody down. He draws up a play, or somebody drew up a play on a chalkboard, on a whiteboard, and said, this is what I want you to run. We're going to start a four flat. We're going to kick into the backcourt to De'Aaron Fox, who will have a running start. When they rush him, he's going to find Domantas Sabonis. Sabonis, you go to the rack. If you've got a shot, hit it. If not, hit one of the one collapser on one side or the corner three.
Mm-hmm.
The play was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfect.
Yep.
You just had a guy fumble the ball. And I'm not going to get on DeMar DeRozan for that specific issue.
Mistakes happen,
right? So, but my point is that when you're in a game, the players always have the option to run whatever they feel is the best thing to run at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you have to take that away. You have to tell the players, I'm sorry, son. You drove the car through like 8 mud puddles and popped 2 tires, and you don't get to drive the car anywhere you want anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I have to take something back.
Yeah.
And to me, that's where we're at with some of this.
Yeah.
If the pick and roll is working and someone decides that they're going to shoot a 19-foot jumper mm-hmm. in the middle of a run of beautiful pick and rolls that equate to a 98% dunk rate at the rim, you're getting one play after one after another. At some point, as a coach, you have to call the players, pull players off the court who aren't following the instructions in place. Like, hey, look, if you're not reading what everybody else is reading on the court, then you need to come sit here with me, and I'm going to put in a player. And when I'm putting in that player, I'm going to say, look, I need you to go stand in the corner and space the floor, and that's it. That's mm-hmm. all you're doing on this play. Nothing else. We all want to watch 7 consecutive Malik Monk and Domantas Sabonis pick and rolls and see how many baskets we can come away with.
Right. And when that gets stopped, when the defense adjusts, adjust accordingly.
Well, not only that, but we didn't even get to the point where they stopped Domas and Malik goes in and scores 3 buckets or pulls up for a 6-foot jumper.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even get to that point.
Right.
You just stopped doing it. And it's like, what is happening? And again, like Mike Brown ran out of timeout so early last night.
That was crazy.
Like, how many times, I asked him before the game very specifically, how frustrating is it that we're in year 3 of your mm-hmm. coaching and you're going back to year 1 where you had to call timeouts 50 seconds into games, 65 seconds into games? How frustrating is that when you have 5 veterans on the floor And we've already given all of their props, who they are as players, one-time All-Star, three-time All-Star, six-time All-Star, six man of the year, should have won it 2 years in a row, fourth pick overall. We've already gone through that. Like, your starter should not have any questions. They shouldn't have a lack of energy. That doesn't make any sense. Are you pros or are you not? Like, are you a pros pro or are you not? And at what point do you go, look, go out there and just play hard. Just do the thing. But also, open your eyes. Something's working. Keep doing it.
Right.
You guys just have carte blanche to do it. It's not about you. It's about winning. That's it. You know, like the old thing with Kawhi Leonard and Greg Popovich. Greg Popovich, like, kept going to Kawhi and say, please shoot it, please shoot it, please shoot it. And Kawhi wouldn't shoot it. And he finally sat him down and said, look, Kawhi, the reason I ask you to shoot the ball is not because I want you to score 25 points a game. It's because you shooting the ball from that spot on the floor gives my team, the San Antonio Spurs, the best opportunity to win. That's it. Go out there and play winning basketball. Do the things that work. Do the things that make your team win. And if the other team can't stop them, keep doing it until the game is over and you're up 30.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm sure there's some reason that that doesn't happen, but I would like to see it. I'd like to know a good reason why that's not what happens.
Go watch footage of the Utah Jazz in the 90s.
Yeah.
Pick and roll, pick and roll, pick and roll, pick and roll, pick, like,
couldn't stop it. I saw something in the chatty house I want to address. Before we do that, though, the Elk Grove Kia talk line is open, 916-909-1320. Don, you are on the air with Kyle and James. What's up?
Hey, this is Sam. I don't know if I'm John, but this
oh,
is
sorry.
Sam. How
yeah,
you
Sam.
Doing?
What's up, Sam?
That's okay. Hey,
thanks.
You know, the most glaring problem I saw last night, and somehow they're going to have to get a little better, is that Sabonis was surrounded by three rebounders on almost every possession, and Keegan Murray wasn't there to get the boards, and it was just like every time that he was the only rebounder. Now, I understand all the offense because I talked to you guys before about the shooting, but, well, I think we need a power forward and that can get the rebounds and along with Sabonis, because look back last night at the footage, and you'll see exactly what I mean. And he was surrounded every time by three people, and the other guys were standing doing whatever they're doing.
No doubt. Thanks, Sam. Appreciate the call. Oh, it wasn't done. That's okay.
Well, in all honesty, you're undersized. You're undersized at every position. And I think Keegan Murray at 7 rebounds a game, that's probably where he's at. He's not 8-9 rebounds a game. And, hey, I think he's done a great job rebounding. But
he's done a really nice job.
Yeah, but when you get outside of, just so people know, you got Domantas Sabonis at 13 rebounds per game, Keegan Murray at 7.7. Who do you think's third on the team in rebounding?
Keon Ellis.
No.
Kevin Huerter.
Nope.
De'Aaron Fox.
Yes. 5 rebounds a game.
Jeez.
After that, there's not another player averaging 4. DeMar DeRozan, 3.9. Malik Monk, 3.6. 3.5 for Huerter. 3.9 for Trey Lyles. That's it.
Yikes.
You want to know why you got beat in the rebound advantage last night? Because somebody, the other team, there is something you can do against Domantas Sabonis. You can't put extra bodies on him as a rebounder, and you can limit him.
Yep.
And he still had 12 rebounds, but only one offensive. All of those were defensive rebounds.
Yeah, and Sam's right. How many times last night was Sabonis trying to tip the ball to himself because there were a bunch of Lakers around him?
Yeah.
It happened a lot.
And the rebounding advantage was like 53-42. You got smoked on and 15 offensive rebounds for the Lakers.
That's
and
too many.
We get into second chance points. Second chance points killed the Kings last night.
Yep.
That's it. That's why starting it's difficult, but having a 6'6" small forward, having 2 6'3" guards in the backcourt, you're undersized.
Yep.
And so again, I want to beat up on Keegan Murray for his inability to hit threes of 40%. But he's being asked to be the second best rebounder on the team. He's being asked to be the best defender on the team. There are a lot of things he's being asked to do, and you can ask him to be better, but you also have to be realistic at some point and know that he's left out of a lot of what's going on the court stuff.
So I brought up DeMar DeRozan and the adverse impact I think he's having on the Kings, and someone in the chat said, so it's all DeMar DeRozan's fault.
No.
And it's not, no, but you picked up and dropped in a player who has a usage rate of 25.3% into the Kings offense. He's shooting the second most field goals per 100 possessions. Like, he is the biggest change to their offense. Like, if you're looking for common denominators or I guess common denominators for what's different from this year to last year that would make certain guys on offense struggle, the guy with the second highest usage rate on the team who shoots it the second most on the team. Like, that's why I look at DeMar and I go, I don't think this is a good fit. Again, not that he's bad. I don't think he's a bad player.
No.
But the fit isn't working with this specific roster the way I think the Kings envisioned it working. I don't think that's insane.
No.
They're scoring the hell out of the basketball, but they have some players struggling, and I think those two things are tied together in some way. Maybe it's a smaller percentage of the pie than I have in my head.
Yeah,
it seems like an explanation to me.
The Kings' offensive rating is 115.5, and I mean, that's down from like last year's crazy numbers that everyone was averaging. But that 115.5, they're seventh in the NBA in offensive rating. And if they didn't have a bad game last night, they probably would be sixth.
Like, this is where I don't want to. I hate challenging like a professional athlete's like heart or desire or whatever, because to get to that level, you're already a little bit of an insane person. Like, you've already done so much work that I cannot even begin to fathom to get to that level. The last guy on the bench has done that work. The guys in the G League have done that amount of work that I just can't even fathom putting into a thing. But on the other hand, we talk about the stats. We talk about the players. We talk about all these other things. Hey, look at their offensive rating. Hey, their defensive rating's improved. Then why do they stink? And if it's not the physical stuff, then it's something else. It's an intangible thing.
Yeah, the advanced stats say that the Kings, again, should be 16 and 12.
Right, but they're not.
But they're not. I mean, the fact that they're 3-9 in games decided by 5 points or less.
It's a problem. When you have guys like De'Aaron Fox, DeMar DeRozan, Malik Monk, Domantas Sabonis, and Keegan Murray closing out games,
yep,
you shouldn't struggle that badly in close games.
No.
Those should be yours. We talked about that all offseason. Like, man, they get in a close game. It's night-night.
Yeah, and at a certain point, you have to strip it back down to, like, the basics and say, okay, like, De'Aaron Fox, I need you to be the guy in the fourth quarter with 4 minutes left. I need you. And if you go, like, 0 for 2, 0 for 3, and you're like, hey, I don't have it, hand it off.
Sure.
That's fine.
Sure.
But that's where we start.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we start. And in the first 5 minutes of the game, I need you to set the table.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to develop the tempo of the game, to put your stamp on the game in the first 5 minutes. After that, everybody else can, like, they pull De'Aaron Fox at the 6 minute mark of the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Then they bring him back out at the 9 minute mark.
Mm-hmm.
For that first 6 minutes, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that you have to take every shot, but I at least need 4 or 5 shots.
Yeah.
And I need you to do what it is that your magic power is, which is get to the key.
Mm-hmm.
Break everything down. Set the tempo. Set the standard of what this game is going to look like.
And does he?
I don't care who the other four players are on the court.
I hate that we're in year 8, and the conversation is still like, "Hey, need a little more, man."
Well, but I think like saying I need a little more is one thing, but also like I need you to be selfish in the first. I need you to set.
Yes, like, I need you everything. To be a psychopath.
The standard for what tonight's game is going to be, and. It's almost like he has those moments in the game. So you just need to rearrange and say, okay, look, everybody else, this is what we're doing. We're just going to see what he can do for the first 5 minutes of the game. And we won't be behind. Trust me.
Set the tone that way, right?
And that doesn't mean you're not going to touch the ball. It doesn't mean that you're not going to score because he's going to assist. He's going to change the speed and the pace of the game in the first 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The other guys, they need to get out of the way and let it happen. Set the screens. Hit the open threes, do the things that make the offense work, and then we can switch it up when we go to the bench and everybody can do different things. But it's tough, man. I don't know if there's one solution for everything, but I'm certainly, like, we have enough things that we know don't work at all at this point.
Yeah. Let's get out to the Elk Grove Kia talk line before we step aside. The Kings Emergency Roundtable coming up at 11:30. Damian Barling, Kenny Caraway, Jesse Tapia, everybody's going to be in here. We're going to discuss this all as an ESPN 1320 family. Before we do that, though, it's time for everybody's favorite radio segment. It is Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's going on?
Merry Christmas, Kyle.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
The brothers, Damon and Casey and Tapia. I can't forget. I hope I got everybody. Everybody out there. We definitely need the most size and rebounding. I guess we have 2 6-3 guards, you say? That's why we drafted a 6'2 guard and Devin Carter was hurt. You know, delicacy. We got to go get Cam Johnson. I don't think that costs a lot. But then I would like to have, if it's Collins, then I guess we have to give up Keegan. Maybe we can't, Cam Johnson, I heard maybe Simmons be bought out. What we have to lose with him? It won't cost as much. But we have to get some size and rebound. Maybe Bog can teach us how to rebound. He was only 6'4", 6'5", and he's moving the best. Have a nice weekend.
Appreciate you, Mitch. Thanks. Mitch is ready to go Ben Simmons.
That's when we know things have hit a certain moment.
Kenny Caraway, who is joining us next with Damian Barling and Jesse Tapia. Kenny Caraway last night tweeted rock bottom.
Oh.
And boy, does it feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
My worry is that it's not.
Yeah.
My worry is that it gets worse.
My worry is that I covered 14 years of basketball before this run, 13 years of basketball before this run.
And it wasn't great.
I saw a lot worse. It just feels worse because you expected better.
The expectations were higher, yeah. And that's the worst part. All right. The Kings Emergency Roundtable, D'Lo and Casey, Jesse Tapia, everybody's going to be in here. A full segment, ironing this out together, talking this out, figuring out if there's a red button to hit, what should they do? That's coming up next on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. He's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. This is ESPN 1320, and it's Sacramento Sports Center.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
All right. I was sitting there watching the end of the Kings game last night, and I said, it is time for an emergency roundtable. So I hit up Damian Barling, who is in the building.
Indeed.
I hit up Jesse Tapia, who's in the building. I forgot to hit up Kenny, who's not here, but that's fine.
He's on his way.
Felt serious yesterday when you sent out that text.
Yeah, I was like, we got to talk. We got to figure this out.
Yeah, the group text was more serious than the one you sent me.
The worst part was, I'll just tell you, I was sitting there watching Mike Brown.
Well,
interviewing Mike Brown, and on my phone, I keep getting these alerts that you guys are chiming in.
You're holding,
It's up, and I'm like, oh, look, I guess we're doing a roundtable. I guess we're having a conversation tomorrow about what I'm watching unfold right here. I'm like, yeah, this is dark, bro.
Yeah. Did you just reread the text message?
Yeah,
you sent
I forgot
me?
I sent that.
Well, they'll do that to you.
It was a great idea, though, right?
It was fantastic.
All right.
I'm just glad you remembered this morning.
Oh, yeah. No,
that
I was locked in.
You sent the idea. Yeah, okay.
I was locked in on the idea. I forgot that I alerted you first because I didn't want to tell everybody and be like, hey, we're going to do this. And everybody be like, ah, bad idea. So I just wanted to run it by Damian first to make sure it was a good idea.
All right.
So
everyone seemed like they were on the same page on post game two yesterday.
Yeah. And that's why that's the thing is it feels like after every game this year, we've kind of been in this situation where there's been not really a consensus. Like, okay, yeah, but if this is different, that was different. Kenny Caraway now in the building is part of the Emergency Kings Roundtable here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
It's more of a pentagon table.
Yeah. So you tweeted last night, rock bottom.
Yes, sir.
And my worry is that it's not.
For this group?
Like, I feel like it could definitely get worse, and I think it's going to.
Well, I mean, for this group, it could. But, like, when I think about rock bottom for this group, like, this is as low as it gets before S hits the fan.
I see.
Right? Like, people are gone. People lose jobs. People that we really like are traded. Like, mm-hmm. That's next. As far as, like, this group just as is, it can't get no worse without people leaving the building.
Is there anything left to get out of this group?
That's my concern. Is we've been talking about hitting the red button, and, like, now's the time for me.
So, to you, though, what's the red button?
For me, it is you have to. This roster is not it, and we talked about this last offseason. At some point, to get this team really where it needs to go, it's got to get uncomfortable. And this fantasy land where De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis and Keegan Murray and Malik Monk, they're going to be together forever. I think that's fantasy land to me now.
Okay.
I think if you're going to make the move substantial enough to make a real impact, I think it's going to have to include one of those guys.
I agree.
I definitely think when you have De'Aaron Fox coming out and vocalizing that the roster isn't what you expected it to be, that's when you're like, oh, okay. Like, De'Aaron Fox is literally talking about it openly that the roster isn't enough, that there has to be something else.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard Domantas Sabonis, like, at his camp early in the offseason, like say, like, well, at least we got this one done. You know, not like the other couple we didn't get done. And it was like, oh, those are barbs from guys who typically don't go outside of the bubble of the team. Like, there's a lot of things that happen here. But when we get Domantas Sabonis after last night, me and Brennan sitting there talking to Domas, like, he was professional. Like, he handled himself very well. Mm-hmm. Like, he talked about, yeah, we still love each other. Like, all these things that they continue to say, like, we don't know all of the reasons why this is happening, but we're still here together. We're still fighting together. But when you hear those little barbs, those are when you're like, okay, like, things are starting to unwind. And we're at that point where all of those things are going to start being collected and put into posts where you're like, okay, yeah, it's been enough playing out over the last 3, 6, 8 months, or for that matter, 3 years. Like, we've talked about it. How uncomfortable is it for Kevin Huerter and for Trey Lyles right now? Because I know how uncomfortable it was for Harrison Barnes for 3 years to hear his name in every single trade.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's just uncomfortable, and that's how they do
then
business.
Then be better.
Be better.
I get you, but it's really uncomfortable. Like, everyone's talking about it everywhere about how you might lose your job at any time. You know, we might not have that show tomorrow. Maybe the next day. But we probably will have it. I don't know. Maybe you'll be here. Maybe you won't. We'll see what happens on February 8th. If you're here, you're here.
That's a little bit of a false of equivalent, too, because we don't have a show. We lose our job. You just go work in a different city and you make I hate to be this way, but you make your millions of dollars.
You
got to perform. Mm-hmm. You don't want to hear those things? Perform.
It still doesn't feel good, though.
No, I'm sure it doesn't. Neither does this. There were 19 points from the bench yesterday, which is actually a lot for them. Seven was the lead. It was Kevin Huerter. Did anyone glance at the box score from the Golden State Warriors game last night?
Oh.
The Warriors-Grizzlies game. The Grizzlies put up 144 points. Yeah. Did anyone examine that box score at all? Two leading scorers for the Memphis Grizzlies came off the bench. One of them's name is Santi.
Santi Aldama.
He had 21 points.
Yeah, he lit it up.
The other one's name is Jake.
Good old Jake.
LaRavia.
He had 19.
Yeah.
And that's not counting old Luke Kennard, who had 15 points.
The Kennard dog.
That bench can score. That bench is pale, but that bench can score.
Shout out to Jake.
Santi, Jake, and Luke.
That's
like, are you serious?
That's crazy.
So all that is 100% right, but I keep saying we're having two different conversations. They're number two in the Western Conference. You want to be number two, number one in the Western Conference, mm-hmm. you get bench production like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I keep saying it. You don't need that to not be what the Kings are right now. Flip it to 15 and 13. They need Jake to be 15 and 13?
Yeah. Why?
This is ridiculous.
Why isn't it the other way then? What's going wrong?
That's what I keep asking, is if they have all NBA center, point guard we think should be all NBA, sixth man of the year that we think should be sixth man of the year, the number four pick who's untradeable, and who am I missing? And a Hall of Famer.
Okay, so I'm glad you ended with that one. So were all of the Bon Tempses and the Winhurst and those jackasses, were they right?
Maybe.
It kind of feels that way.
Maybe. Signing the Hall of Famer was the wrong move?
Maybe.
Kind of feels that way.
Because last year...
The results are saying what they're saying.
Right.
Where is it? 17-11 through 28 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
16-12 through 28 games the year prior.
That's significantly better.
But you guys talked about it before we came in here. All metrics are up. All metrics are, at least that I can tell.
Metrics are lying. Like, I know.
I think the metrics in the league are up.
Let me ask this. If the metrics are up, because you're right, we brought this up, we touched on it just briefly earlier. Yeah. If that's right, then what's wrong?
There are two that are down, and I'm not saying it's their fault, but there are two that are down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the shooting of Huerter, it's the shooting of Keegan Murray, 3-point shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two things that are different in a negative way than last year, unless I got that wrong.
No.
Mm-hmm. Everything is up,
mm-hmm.
except for that. And once again, it's not all that's not all their fault,
mm-hmm.
but that's more of a difference. Like we talked about DeMar DeRozan. You guys were talking about the sequence last night when they kept going into pick and roll and converted, and then you got to get DeMar shots. Who's calling that play?
The players.
Let's really break that down. Who's calling that?
Mm-hmm.
So number one, let's go through the options. Is DeMar DeRozan, after three straight pick and rolls, saying, yo, Fox, Monk, hey, come on, it's time for me to eat.
DeMar DeRozan time.
It's time for me to eat. Is he saying that? If no, which I don't think he is, why are Monk or anybody calling a different play? That's not DeMar's fault.
Sure.
We talk about, we haven't seen all the things that we thought we were going to see coming in the offseason with the dribble handoff. Mm-hmm. Why not?
That's a great question.
They worked on it. They were in the Galen Center working on it.
At the Juju Watkins.
Yeah. And now we're here, and DeMar is getting it in quote-unquote his spots. But once again, unless somebody is telling me that DeMar is saying, nah, man, don't give me no dribble handoff. Give me the ball right here, else I'm sitting and pouting. If he's not saying that, then where are the coaches and where are the point guards?
I don't know, but I'll also tell you I watched him go one-on-one against Anthony Davis and just sat there and shook my head. Like, that's one of the best defenders in the league, and he's 5 inches taller than you. What is happening? Like, why? What is happening in this moment? Why have you not moved off the ball? You have a center spaced out away from the basket. Why has the ball not moved? Because scoring against Anthony Davis in that situation is like maybe a 20% chance. That's it. Like, yeah. I don't care who you are. He's way bigger than you, and he's got you. It's you're isolated on him. And if you don't think that that's something that the Lakers just sitting there saying, yes, we have Anthony Davis isolated on DeMar DeRozan on the outside. You don't think that they're like sitting there like, this is exactly what we were hoping for.
But at the same time, no, it's not Isaac Jones being isolated on Anthony Davis. DeMar DeRozan has probably gotten plenty of buckets on it. It's not out of the realm of possibility to say, I got the big man on me. I can go to work.
It doesn't work once. You got to move on.
Okay.
And well, you got to move on. And like, again, I'm not someone who's saying this is all DeMar DeRozan's fault. I have not said that at all. But there are enough situations where you can look at the mixture of players aren't working nearly enough.
Right.
The mixture, whatever it is, it's not, the ingredients aren't working. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you fix that without, you know, again, when December 15th just came and went, you can trade DeMar DeRozan at this point. Mm-hmm. You can trade anybody. But like, that's where you're looking like, okay, we tried something and you made a big fanfare out of it when you signed the guy, but you also created a window where there wasn't a window before.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings window was much bigger than this. It'd be like, all of a sudden there's a 2-year window where you got to win. It's like, okay, yes, the Kings need to win without any question, but we created this like window when DeMar DeRozan was brought in on a 2-year deal with a 3rd-year option at 35 years old.
How quick does Monty need to move if, like, yesterday we felt like it was rock bottom? What if they feel the same in the locker room? And, like, that Mike Brown post-game press conference was kind of tough and all that. Like, some of the ingredients not working. Like, how fast does Monty need to move at this point then?
Yeah, he needs to move immediately.
Six months ago.
Yep.
Yeah, he's... Yeah,
that's a great point.
And let's be
like,
clear.
Are we done waiting for this team to, like, improve at this point? Like, now is it just, all right, we got the deal here, make the deal now.
That's what it is for me.
Monty and Wes need to move.
Yes.
Because if they're getting brought up together, then we're going to bring them up together.
Yep.
Monty and Wes need to figure something out.
Yes.
And I am adamant. If you're firing one, you're firing both.
You have to.
I don't know about that. I'm not here to jump in front of Wes, but sure. Wes was not mentioned when Monty won Executive of the Year. So we can't mention Wes when it's going bad.
I'm not saying he's not at fault. I'm not saying he's at fault, but just like we just talked about for a whole day with De'Aaron Fox yesterday. When it's going good, you get the credit.
Mm-hmm. When it's going bad, you've got to wear that too.
Sure.
And we're not going to throw Wes in there now.
I feel like Wes has been in it.
Yeah, but it's a front office problem. We say Monty because he's the head of the front office. But to me, you're not firing Monty and being like, oh, yeah, the guy who was right there with him making all the same decisions. Here you go.
Chris Biederman asked Mike Brown about the ingredients that he has, and he was like, look, you got to ask Monty and Wes about that.
Mm.
Mm. Right. He didn't say Monty McNair.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He said, you got to ask Monty and Wes about that.
Let me ask you this, Kenny. Mm-hmm. Because Jesse said, when's the time to act? When's the time to stop waiting for players to just come around and do something? If you could hit a red button right now, or pick your favorite color button, if you could hit a button right now that the Kings make the one move, not like a domino effect of moves, they can do one thing that you think makes them better, what is it?
I mean, it's not a red button, but it's the move I would make before the red button. Is that fair? Or do you want
the
red button?
Okay, no, but what's the move you would make? What's the move you would make right now? If you're not at red button place, that's fine.
Find a way to get like Finney Smith, maybe even a Kuzma, and keep the guys that you consider core together. I'll get off the fence because we're having an emerging podcast and we're talking. Trey Keegan Murray and see what you can get. And it's not to say it's Keegan Murray's fault, but that's your biggest asset. It's not.
I would agree.
De'Aaron Fox and DeMarcus.
That's the red button to me.
Yeah.
De'Aaron red Fox button is trading De'Aaron Fox. That's the red button.
That's
my red button is you start firing people and this thing, it doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Like it goes, you want to fire all the sasses out here in the chat that like it's all on Mike Brown. You fire Mike Brown, it's not going to get better. It only gets worse. I've been through it so many times.
That's the black button.
7-21 Oh. Tyrone Corbin, 7-21 It is the button that leads to the next button that leads to the next button.
That's the vortex button.
Let me just tell you what those buttons are. If you want to fire Mike Brown, that's fine. Because right after that, you're gonna fire Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox when it doesn't work in the offseason. And then De'Aaron Fox is going to say, I'm done. I'm good. Get me the F out of here. That's the next button. And then it's all over from there. You start over or whatever. I don't know what you do at that point, but that's the button that so many people are like, press it, press it, press it. It's like, okay, just these, all of these things, they play in together. Like it yeah. never, ever, ever works to fire one guy and think that the next guy's going to come in and everything's going to be roses, you know, because look, I'll tell you, like the other guy that could step in is Doug Christie, because that's probably who Vivek is going to want to step in because he did it once before. That means that you're also, there's a good chance that at the end of the year, he's gone and everybody else is gone, because it's not just going to turn around because you did one move like firing a coach. It is, I get it. The move right now is to try to figure out how to fix what's going on. Mm-hmm. It's not to go blame game, blame game, blame game. It's your fault. It's your fault. And then, because once you say it's your fault and you make that move, there's no one else protecting Monty and Wes. Mm-hmm. They already made the play. The play was to blame it on Mike. Now it's on you. And when this thing spins out like it always does, that's where you're going to be facing.
Are there problems deeper than beyond the bench? Because we've talked about last, like I've said the last few weeks, like, oh, like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You just need to get some guys who are consistent. But yesterday it felt like they were they felt like they were disconnected. And it's just like this group just isn't working at this point. Like maybe it is time for a big shakeup where I'm not like for getting rid of DeMar, but maybe you trade Keegan or whoever. Like is it time for something bigger?
Well, how if you're De'Aaron after the last two or three days, do you pick up your fifth foul in the third quarter? Better yet, if you're Mike Brown, how do you let De'Aaron Fox, after these last few days, pick up his fifth foul in the fourth quarter?
He played 36 minutes. He played the entire fourth without picking up another foul.
Was effective? You think he was effective in the fourth quarter?
Did I think he was effective 1-3?
Well, okay. Okay, well.
I mean.
Yeah, you asked the question. I don't know, did you?
Yeah, to be honest.
I'm guessing you didn't.
To be honest, I thought he was better in the fourth quarter playing with five fouls than he was the rest of the game. Mm.
There's to me, the fact that they have all these players and there's all these metrics, to me, there's something like at the core of what or who this team is. And that's my concern.
This is always magnified, too, when it's the Lakers.
Sure.
Like you get your ass whooped by the Lakers because you do it in for and salute to the Laker fans.
Yes,
because the game sold out,
and they chanted.
The game sold out last night because the Los Angeles Lakers were here. That's the state in which the Sacramento Kings were in. Salute! It'll sell out on Saturday at 3:00. That's where we're at. The times the Kings play the Lakers, the game sells out. So it stings more when it's the Lakers. And it feels like that's why I think if that had been if it'd been Denver again, I don't know that it would feel like rock bottom, but because it's the Lakers and it's really loud in there when the Lakers are winning, yeah, you're walking out like, this is embarrassing.
Another issue that we've talked about ad nauseum, but it keeps rearing its ugly head, is Monty McNair, who I like and I don't want fired. For a team that talks about depth, you drafted a guy that can't play. Literally cannot get on the floor. And
yep.
I don't know how you survive that.
Yeah.
I don't and
especially when other rookies are playing well.
Other rookies are playing well. That you could have drafted. 100%. And this was your call. They let basketball people do basketball things. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody always cried. They let basketball people do basketball things, regardless of what other people thought. And that was your decision. I don't know how you survived that if this continues.
Did he just completely misread this roster and like what this team's timeline is and all that? You're drafting a guy who's not playing for 6 to 8 months or whatever you want to call it. Like for what they are now, this doesn't make any sense.
Jesse, yes, because you had enough of a sample size midway through last season to know that that roster wasn't it.
Yep.
You did. You knew it wasn't it, and you did absolutely nothing. You traded for Robin Lopez and waived him at the deadline. You did nothing. You get to the offseason. You were going to trade the pick. You were going to trade the pick. You didn't trade the pick. Whatever deal you had fell through. You were going to sign XYZ. You were going to sign X, Y, and Z. Those fell through. You made the trade for DeMar DeRozan. You gave up 3 second-round picks to clear cap space, and all we see now is you cleared cap space so you don't have to pay the luxury tax. Mm-hmm. And now you don't have those 3 second-round picks to go out and trade for, like, Dennis Schroeder just got traded for 2 second-round picks.
And an expiring.
But you don't have that.
Right.
So
maybe you wouldn't have to trade if you wouldn't have drafted a player that can't play.
That's
maybe
great.
Maybe
point.
That would have been the solution.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're going to give it to you guys now. You guys can continue
Sir.
This conversation.
Pause.
You know what? Yeah, we might be down bad. We're not down that bad. It's a flag. It's a pass interference.
Around table.
Yeah. Take it easy.
What D-Lo and KC next. Drink water and be nice, people.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.